思う。
なるほど。
قرآن شریف says وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةَ لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Guard yourselves against a fitna which will not only affect the wrong amongst you. When we hear the word fitna, then we feel that it's something to do with a fight or controversy, conflict, etc. Generally, this word, when it's used in the Quran, it has three or four meanings. One meaning is punishment. ذُوقُوا فِتْنَتَكُمْ. And sometimes the word fitna is used for a trial, for an examination. That this world is a trial. أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. You cannot say that your children and your wealth are a punishment. It is a trial. Right? And the third meaning that this word fitna is used for is the avenues that will lead you to sin. Now, there are many, many avenues in this life, or many vehicles, many means that are two-sided. Can be used for good, and by the same token can be used for evil. Where it can be used for good, then it has the capacity to be used for evil as well. A knife, such a beautiful weapon, any household cannot do without a knife. But like it has its good, then it has the element of evil as well. It can lead you to a right thing, and it can lead you to destruction. Same with wealth, same with children. So they have the capacity of good and the capacity of bad. Generally, the qaida, the usul, the principle that is used and applied across the board is that wherein the capacity for wrong is greater must be avoided. فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. Talk about alcohol and intoxicants, and they have the good as well. That is why you will find most medication has some alcohol, so it has the good. But وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. But the sin that it can lead to, it has that capacity for destruction. So the capacity for destruction, ruin, is far greater than the capacity for good. Right? It has the capacity for good. But the capacity for destruction is far weightier than the capacity for good. So now this is the principle that is generally applied in any vehicle, any means, anything that you use in this world. Is the capacity for evil greater or the capacity for good greater? Now simply, simple illustration is the beach in the summer season at the holiday time, right? Holiday time, summer season, and the beach, right? Everything is calm, and it's nice and hot, weather is all enjoyable weather. So it has the capacity for good. You go relax, you go and admire the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, you go and cool off yourself, so it has the capacity for good. But any person, if he asks his heart, right, he will say, in this season, in this type of climatic condition, this type of weather, the capacity for evil is far greater than the capacity for good. You look on your right, there's wrong cutting on there. Look towards your left, and there's something wrong that's on there. You can see what's happening. Music is blasting away. And apart from the music that is blasting away, then people that are not dressed right at all. And to avoid that, it becomes practically impossible. How are you going to carry on? How are you going to walk? Practically impossible without you seeing something wrong. The way they are dressed, if they are not completely naked, then they are just like naked. If they are not completely naked, then they are just like naked. The hadith talks about a time where there will be women, ma'ilatin, mumilatin, kasiyatin wahum ariyat. They will be wearing clothes, but they will be naked. Now, at that time when Nabi was talking about these things, perhaps people could not understand what is meant that they are clothed, but they are naked. And now we can see it's evident they are wearing their clothes, where the whole body formation becomes visible. Whole form, everything is. La yajiduna ra'ihat al-jannah. They will not even get the fragrance of Jannah. They will not even get the fragrance of Jannah. So they are wearing clothing, but they are naked. They are inclining themselves to the wrong, and they are attracting people as well. They are seducing people because of their looks. They are so aggressive in their looks and their style that they are inclining people towards them. You see, salat jiduna ra'ihat al jannah. They will not even get the fragrance of Jannah. So the capacity for good is there, right? In the beach, the capacity for good is there. You can't dispute it. There is no good in it. But then, if you balance it out, you measure it up, and you see that the capacity of good is greater, or the capacity for evil is greater. You measure it out and you find that the capacity for evil is far greater than the capacity for good. Now then you find similar things. For example, you look at the television, right? Across the board, nobody can tell you that it's haram. If someone is only watching a program without any animate objects, no music, right? No woman's voice, no music, no woman's voice, and number three is no animate objects, nothing, no music at all. So can anybody say it's impermissible haram? No. You cannot say that it is totally haram. But then the capacity that it's got for evil, is it greater or the capacity for good greater? Anybody you will ask, they'll say, no, there's some music, it'll be some woman or her voice, something that is luring, something that is tempting you, something that is taking you towards the wrong. Just now the fight was with the television. Television haram and this whatever, shaitanic box. But the computer became a farishta's box. The farishtas also got that box in their homes and they don't feel anything about it. I'm immune to it. I don't get involved myself. I don't involve myself in any wrong. It's the same thing. The name has been changed, but the capacity what the television has got is like that same. The computer has got the same capacity, or the television has got. There's no difference. If it can show you wrong, it can also show you wrong. It can take you to one part of the world, it can also take you to the other part of that world. Whatever this thing has got the same, exactly the same. So we have abandoned this, but we have replaced it with a computer, and that becomes a farishta's box. We have thrown out the music, but the cell phone is in the pocket. So whenever you want, who can say that you're using it for the wrong? Who can tell you that you are using this cell phone for the wrong? But you got it in your pocket. You know it, Allah Ta'ala knows it. Where you're using it, how you're using it. So then it will differ with the person, the age, etc. Right? If someone is using strictly for business and he is committed to his business, he's got the consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, you won't tell him it's haram. But now the person that is not committed to his deen, he is not committed to his deen, he hasn't got the concern, the consciousness, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's got all that facility on that phone. Can he be tempted or not? He just presses the button, now he's quiet, he wants to pass his time. From one program he's jumping onto the other, one thing is hopping onto the other. Is there the possibility of him getting into the wrong or not? The possibility is there. Al-Mu'attami Sabrahman says, if you get into it once, that means you don't have the break, your break has failed. You must throw it out. Just once, you don't give yourself the second chance. If you are driving a car, the brake has failed, and you got involved in an accident, you won't say, no, let me try it out for the second time. If you were injured quite badly, and you were hurt, right, because of the brake failure, whatever the reason, then you will not say, hey, no, let me try it out for the second time. The first time, oh, I lost my child, lost my mother, everybody I lost, but let me try for the second, let's see if it happens again for the second time. You don't take the chance for the second time. So exactly the same, the same usul, same principle you'd apply here, that I use it once, and once I slipped, that means I don't have the capacity. I have proved to myself that I don't have the capacity. I must go and brush it, throw it, smash it. No, they say 10,000 rand, 20,000. Even 1,000,000 rand, even 1,000,000,000 rand is better to throw away than tramping on one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One command of Allah ta'ala is such a serious thing. Throw away 1,000,000,000, throw away the entire world, that's cheaper than tramping on one law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a serious thing, not a small thing. Just that we don't understand the consequence of the wrong that we commit. Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ishaq Sahib rahmatullahi, he had moved on to Makkah Mukarramah towards his latter life. And what triggered his going, what was the thing that had triggered him going, catalyst for him to move away from India and settle in Makkah Mukarramah, he saw in his dream that the Quran Sharif was in the Chandni Chowk. Now, you may have heard of the Chandni Chowk in India. Delhi, it's about the busiest street, right? He saw the Quran Sharif there, and people are tramping it and carrying on their business. Tramping, moving on. So he understood it exactly, that now people are going to trample the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not going to show it the respect that it deserves. The Quran represents the deen, the law of Allah ta'ala. And people tramping upon it means that they are not going to show the respect that it deserves. So when they aren't showing it the respect that it deserves, then it's not worthwhile me living here any longer. Right. I need to move on. I need to go and see where's the security of my deen. I need to see where's the security of my religion, my deen, my Islam. I can't be living in an area which is covered with wrong. What have I got to immunize myself? For my own immunity, what have I got? I need something for my own defense. I need something for my own protection. After all, for medical reasons, don't we immunize ourselves? Don't we take all the security, all the protection? We don't say we are so strong that we can take on any challenge. No. We will see to it that we immunize ourselves, we protect ourselves, we guard ourselves. Then we get into these areas. So the Quran Sharif says in this verse, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Guard yourself against those areas that have that capacity of wrong, or those trials that the consequence of the trial doesn't only affect the wrong, it affects the wrong and the right. Now, the simple question that comes to any person's mind, that, well, I haven't committed the wrong, then why must the consequence affect me? I didn't do the wrong. I wasn't the guilty party. So this punishment that you are talking about, it doesn't only affect the guilty, just as it affects the guilty, it affects the innocent as well. So the innocent, why does he get affected? The question will come in anybody's mind. So to understand this, you need to see it in a different perspective, right? You understand it. Logically, you'll understand it, and inshallah, you'll appreciate it. Say, for example, it is your daughter, or your sister, or your mother that is walking past the street. And they were Muslim people, they were people upright, Muslim, righteous, and you saw that she was walking past the street, and people interfered with your sister, with your daughter, with your mother, right? They were Muslims, they were strong, they knew that this was not the right thing, but they felt, we'll sleep in our qabr, she will sleep in her qabr, and what's the need to defend this woman here? If they do it, it's their guna, now it's between them and Allah Ta'ala. It's not my business, it's not my problem. Right? Now, they conducted themselves in this way. Right? tomorrow, that person that was observing, that was the spectator there, his daughter, his sister, or his mother is walking past the same street. You hear about it, say, well, this is what they did with my sister, my daughter, or my mother. Then I must treat them equally. They're going to sleep in their kabar, she will sleep in her kabar. She can get abused, she can get whatever, assaulted, abused, whatever. It's her business, it's her life, it's not my business. I must not get myself involved in this type of thing. So do you see, when you could stop the wrong, you see that happening before your eyes, and you didn't show any disapproval, you didn't try to chase the person away, you didn't try to prevent the wrong. So you become the victim afterwards. Eventually that whole thing comes, spirals and gets onto you. Had you stopped it in the first place, that person would have thought, well, it was my daughter, my sister, these people, they stood up. They risked their lives and they stopped that wrong. So now if it's their daughter, if it is their mother, their sister, I need to risk my life and see to that that they are guarded, they are protected. Do you see the reasoning? Now, the same reasoning can be extended on any other situation. A theft, for example, a burglary, right? Now you saw that person stealing, he's robbing, he's involved in some type of robbery. Now you kept quiet. No, it's his business. They steal, it's their problem. Well, his mother got attacked. One of those things. Now it happens in South Africa. You can't say you're living in a crime-free country. You came and lived here by your choice. It happened, one of those things now. So they'll see the same thing with you, and they will also reason like how you are reasoning. So what happens afterwards? That reason doesn't apply, you see. See, when we talk about the Quran and the Hadith, better than our reasoning is the reasoning of those that had passed before us. Because for us to come to correct conclusions, it will take time. You will not just come to correct conclusions immediately. Now, all this explanation that I gave, right, just to illustrate this point, but before I illustrated the point, was it in your mind? The Quran Sharif says that guard yourself against that punishment that will not only affect the wrong amongst you, right? Now, how does it work? Now, with this illustration, it comes to your mind. But then for that illustration to come to your mind, it took so many years that that illustration came to your mind, why you should go and prevent it. So what we need to understand, that we are not the slaves of our reasoning. So our reasoning will take time to mature, to understand, to get to grips with things. It will take time. Everything doesn't apply to every person at every time. It takes time. One person, see, reasoning grows. Reasoning grows, it matures. With time, with experience, with understanding, it grows. It doesn't just come straight. It doesn't just work straight. Now you may say, all right, I just want to show you an example, reasoning, understanding. You will practice according to your reasoning, your understanding. Now last week or something, there was a case, right? Now, there is one group that says, well, we must look after all animals, endangered species, snakes and all things. Not your enemies, right? They're not your enemies. All right. There is one group that will speak like that. All right. Now, last week there was a case near Abshlanga somewhere. There was a Russian tourist woman, and she was crossing the road, and the snake was almost dead. Car went over it, and this thing went to sympathize. Oh, you're dying now. You're a harmless species, and people came and attacked you. You know how women, how they carry on. So that thing went and bit this woman twice or thrice. It bit him. Now she's hospitalized in Shlanga. You understand? See the reasoning. That reasoning, your reasoning is based on your intelligence, your knowledge. And your knowledge is like this. So you want to apply it to every situation and you become a victim. So you will definitely have to say that at some point I'll have to cut off my reasoning for the person that is more intelligent, for the person that is more capable, he's more widely read, I need to go with him. And he may not have the time to explain you everything. One go now, one visit, 5 minutes, and he must give everything. He can't. You will see him gradually, he will get the time, he's in the mood, gradually he'll open up situations to you. Then you begin to see it. You don't see the light in that first sitting. Even you are sitting here for the 50th time, now that man needs to see your capacity. What is the capacity that you come with? He'll need to see your capacity. When he sees your capacity, then he will grant. He doesn't see, he doesn't know the capacity, how can he give you? It may turn out that you may just reject the Quran. you may just reject the hadith. Now he's trying to protect you from something that is impermissible, right? But he doesn't know your response. It may just lead you to kufr. You may just reject something. You reject something, you're out, completely out. You understood? So that he needs to see your capacity. He needs to see so many things before he can give you, he can feed you. As Mawlana Tamimi Sahib Rahmatullah says, that I understood this. I was on a train and I saw someone with his trousers flowing over his ankles. So I went and stopped him. But you know what? The Sharia doesn't like this. And someone will say makruh, someone will say whatever, impermissible. But the Sharia disapproves of this. Now, in a train, it's a free environment. It's a free, open environment. That person, he went in a rage. And he went and swore the Shariat. You see, he went and swore the Shariat. Now look at Mawlana and the comprehensive nature of Mawlana. Mawlana didn't tell him anything. He says, it's my fault. I tried to protect him from something, makruh, but I brought him right onto the doors of kufr, of disbelief. He rejected the Sharia. He swore the Sharia. Obviously, he rejected the Sharia. So I tried to guard him from one thing, but where did I bring him to? So I need to see the man's capacity. What is the capacity? How can I take him? How can I lead him on that I protected him? I guarded him, I protected him, and I took him onto the course, onto the path of safety. You see, what a complicated, what a long task this is. So one, two sittings, a couple of sittings doesn't make the person. If you know, no, I got the capacity, I can do it, I will do it. You throw in the situation, then you realize that what's the level of your tolerance, what's the level of your endurance. You know, about 3 years ago, it was a very pious person, very wealthy, very pious person, and there was a discussion about the Muslim personal law, you know. There was a discussion going on. Pious, regular in his namaz and all that, whatever it was. So when he heard about some law and Islamic law and all that, he says, Mawlana, the law is in its place, but I can't take my hand being amputated. I can't take it. Do you see the level of his iman? Do you see the level of his iman? So there are so many things that is beyond the average person's capacity. The ulama's work is not to take people towards disbelief, to throw them out of Islam. To bring them out, min az-zulumati ila nur. Lead them from the depths of darkness into the light of iman, into the light of jannat. That's the work of the alim. Not to push him further into the hole. The man is drowning, now pull him out, slowly pull him out. Pull him out. He doesn't even have the strength to come out. You have to create the strength in him, the courage in him, the determination in him. Slowly pull him out and then bring him on this end. Do you see that alim's work, how difficult it is? Not a simple, straightforward work. And that is easy. Oh, say haram, kufr, disbelief, everything. It's very easy to say that. But then what are we doing? Our work is to bring them out. You can see that man is dying already. He is put himself on the threshold of kufr. Now, if it was your child, what would you have done? If it was your child, what would you have done? You would have tried right till the last. Somehow salvage him. Just show him iman. You know, at least he just accepts iman and he dies. It's all right. You know, you feel as though you're on the fence, on the edge. You might just say, la ilaha illallah, and die, finish, my work is over. Doesn't that happen to you? It happens to you because it's mine, it's my blood. What you feel for your blood, feel for others as well. They are there now somehow salvage them, somehow protect them, somehow guard them, bring them out. Don't provoke the person. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاسَّةً. Do you see this? So you need the depth of understanding, the depth of reasoning, the love for that creation, the love for the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You need to have that. You have that love, you have that muhabbat, you have that depth of reasoning, then you can go in that direction. And you don't have that level of understanding, then you can't go. You try what you want, but you can't. So you need to have the depth of reasoning, you need to have that level of iman, that level of muhabbat. That person is begging Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, give me the permission to make zina. Sahaba Ikram naturally are affected. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, bil mu'mineena ra'ufur rahim, he's most gracious and he's most merciful towards the mu'mineen, right? Harisun alaykum, His feeling for you is irresistible. When you say haris, irresistible. His feeling to pull you out of the ditch of Jahannam, to lead you into the palace of Jannat, is irresistible. He can't resist. You know, when you say haris, the man can't resist. He sees food of before him and he can't resist. So he can't resist to see you in that Jahannam. He can't resist. He wants to pull you out. آخِذُكُمْ آخِذُ بِحُجُزِكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنَا آخِذُ بِحُجُزِكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ I am pulling you by your belts, leading you by your belts from the Jahannam into Jannat. So he can't resist it. The reason can't see it. How can he see that his ummah will be burning in the fire? He can't see it. So somehow, pull the person out. Bring him out. Bring him out. See. So that alim's work and the ummati's work is quite, is not a simple thing. It's not a simple thing. It's not an easy, straightforward thing. We need to understand. We need to know levels. We need to know who we are speaking to, and then how do I bring him? How do I work with the person? How do I bring him? Like I say, simple reasoning is my child, and my one and only child, and he's going in that direction. What happens to me? My sleep is haram. My day is all in a state of turmoil. Day is in a state of turmoil. Night is all gone. Everything is gone. I want to see the child going. Forget that going to Jahannam. If the child, may Allah ta'ala forbid, has gone into drugs, what happens to the man? What happens to the man? Alright, the man is worried about his iman, right? But he's also concerned about his reputation. The whole world is talking about my child. What happens? Be truthful to yourself if that child goes into drugs. What happens to that person? Reputation, my respect is gone. So Rasulullah Paksasam's feeling for you was irresistible. He couldn't take it on. To see my ummah going in Jannah, I can't take it. I need to pull him out. I need to drag him out. I need to save him somehow. Somehow lead him into Jannah. Somehow I need to lead him. That man is begging for permission given to him for zina. And Nabi Sallam explains him. Takes out the time, explains him. Do you see how he's progressing that argument, developing his mind? Because see, you look at it from this dimension, then you will inculcate the hatred for it. All of you all know the hadith. But I will show you how he's developing the argument, how he's leading him up and making him feel an aversion for that. He must have an aversion, he must have a hatred, but the hatred must be natural. But now that takes time. It doesn't just happen overnight, it takes time. So this verse of the Quran Sharif says, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةَ اللَّهَ تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا That you fear and guard yourself against that punishment that doesn't only affect the wrong. It will affect the guilty and it will affect the right. It will affect the guilty, it will affect the innocent. Both will get affected. When the tide comes, when the tsunami comes, it will take everybody. In its stride, it will take everybody. So then what is the duty of the ummah? The duty of the ummah is to prevent. And prevention in three levels. Right? I'm just showing you now, in a nutshell, what's in the hadith in the Quran Sharif, right? Most, more or less everything is three levels. Right? The one level is to prevent it. Physically, you go and prevent it. Someone has the power, he's got the type of strength, he has the power, he's not concerned about the consequence. It's all right for him that he goes and stops it. He has the power, he has the strength. Whatever consequence is going to fall afterwards, he's not worried about it. He has the power and he knows there won't be any fitna afterwards. You understand? There won't be. I'm trying to stop one, but I'm giving rise to another 20 wrongs. I'm stopping one, but I'm giving rise to another 20 wrongs. You know, you'll find people sleeping, right? Or getting up for Fajr Namaz. So first day, you went and got them up for Fajr Namaz. Bye, get up for Fajr Namaz. So they got up. Talking of a real incident, India, real situation. Going for the masjid, now people are sleeping on the streets. So the next day, say, no, hey, let me shake them up. Shake them up for the Namaz for the second day. Third day, say, well, you carry on like this. The easier way, you know, this waking one person takes about 5 minutes. So the easier way, just spray water on all of them. Spray them up nicely. Cold water, ice cold water. 1 minute, what you couldn't achieve in 1 hour, you get in 1 minute. So those people also become sharp. So, oh, this person is playing the trick with us. So let him come. So all waiting for him to come. Now they he comes to spray the water, and they lati charge him. You know, they call it in India lati charge, beaten charge, lati charge, they call it. Now, what's going to happen? Uska sar puta, uska ped puta, someone's head cracked, someone's leg broke. There's a whole fight. The whole town is on fight now. Now, is that the work? It's not the work. You stop one thing, and you give rise to a 10 fitnas. You stop one, but you give a rise to a 10 other fitnas. That's not the work of a Nabi. It's not the work of the Nabi. It's not the work of the vicegerent of a Nabi to stop a wrong in a way that you will give rise to a 10 other wrongs. Do you see that how this verse of the Quran Sharif comes in? Now, until and unless this is not illustrated, these points are not understood, right, then you will get into the problem and you don't even realize that you have got into the problem. You will get into the problem and you will not realize it that you have got into the problem. See, if you look into the Quran, look into the Hadith, you will find examples for what I'm saying. What I'm saying, I'm giving you without the examples, but I'm giving you logical arguments. But if you look into the Quran and you look into the Hadith, then you will find a lot of precedents for what I'm saying. A lot of examples for what I'm saying, a lot of illustrations. Now you have the strength, but provided with the strength, you don't fear fitna afterwards. You don't fear other wrongs coming up in its wake. It's alright. Maulana Muhammad Ali Mungeri Sahib Rahmatullah is a great buzurg of his time. And every buzurg, he has some opposition. He has some opposition, someone coming on his way. Ja'alna likulli nabiyin aduwan. Every nabi has an opposition. Right? Every prosperous person, he has someone envying him. Now, he's a prosperous person, he's a popular person. People see popularity, they become envious. Why is he popular? Why aren't we so popular? People are coming and flocking, thronging to him. Why they don't come to us? So that's human feeling. It's human feeling, you feel like that. Then there is that one group that will just ignore this, forget, say, I must do my work and let him do his work. He's not doing haram. He's becoming popular, he's not doing haram, so why must I be concerned about it? I must do my work and he must do his work. He's got now, he's owning Mr. Price and I'm getting my price, so must I be worried about it? He's owning Mr. Price all over South Africa, but I'm getting my price. My kharcha is coming out, my expenses are being meted out. Now, why must I be worried about it? Let him carry on his life, I carry on my life. It's alright. But now I must burn myself because of him, get to the banks and open up this type of job. It works out, it doesn't work out. Why must I get myself into problems? So Mulanas, there were a lot of people that were envying him because of his popularity. He's getting more acceptance, so people are getting... I said, now how must we cripple this man? You must harass him. You must harass him and, you know, frustrate him somehow or the other. Mulana comes for namaz, he'll have to come to this route because it's the only route to the masjid. So on the route, let's now have a big qawwali going on. And with a singing woman that is going to entertain the crowd, right? Qawwali is going on, and a singing woman is in the midst of the whole company, and she's attracting and entertaining the entire crowd. In India, now, this is quite common, and not only in India, here also this is common. South Africans mustn't feel that we are very, very pure and farishtas. Eh? You can ask some of these other people, you'll find, you know, the qawwalis and all that. In a qawwali, there's a woman dancing and she'll make one stroke in this way and a second stroke like this. And every stroke she makes, 1,000 rand is coming this side, 2,000 rand is coming this side. So you hear all these stories, they happen here also. Just that we're not interacting with that type of people, so we don't know, but it happens here as well. So in the meanwhile, when I saw that this woman is attracting a lot of people, this qawwali is going on, drums and all type of musical instruments right in the vicinity of the masjid, this can't happen. Then he thinks to himself that I'm going to the masjid, I have to pass all these people here. In India it happens, like, see, when they have a qawwali or they have a concert or something, and they block the whole street. The wedding also is taking place in the whole street. So if the cars have to move, they have to go take an alternate route. So the whole wedding, whole procession is taking place in that street. 6 hours, 7 hours, everything is there. So now you coming to the masjid, you have to pass through. So Mona says, now I must stop this thing here, but I must stop it with a style. How must I stop it? I can't go and hit these 1,000 people here. Right? I can't stop it that way. But now how must I stop it? So who's the main culprit here? Is this singing woman? This woman that is entertaining this crowd here. And if I go and just loosen a little bit, you know, loosen a couple of shots I give her, then the whole crowd will come right. Because she can only sing if she's cheered up. She's cheered up, she's happy, and she's bubbling with energy. But if I give her a couple of shots, everything will break in her. When it's broken down in her, then that whole crowd will just break up. So Moa took out his shoe, he went straight for this woman, and he gave her a couple of shots on the head. Remember the points, you stop the evil without creating any fitna afterwards. If you are of that position, it's alright. But you will stop the evil, and 10 fitnas are going to wake up because of you stopping this, then that's not the right way. You use another approach. Anyway, Maulana hit her and that whole thing stopped. She went for namaz and all that, and the crowd that was being entertained, they told this woman, you know what, you go and lay a charge in the police, we are your witnesses. We are witnesses that he came and assaulted you without any reason. And to assault a woman, bash a woman, at least you get 5 years in India, 5 years imprisonment. We are your witnesses, you go and lay the charge, put him in his place. They're waiting for this, they're provoking, you see. And they got it. So see this woman here, what she says. This woman says that, you see, this man was won out, right? He tore your crowd, he tore the crowd, he came right to me and he bashed me, and all these 1,000 people didn't have the heart to come and stop him. None of you had the heart. So it shows that this is a godly man. It shows that he is supported divinely. When he is supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, opposing him is opposing and challenging Allah ta'ala. Now she herself is a dirty woman, loose woman, right? But look at the iman that's in her heart. Look at that iman that's in her heart. She is saying opposing this is opposing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Challenging him is challenging Allah ta'ala. If I'm going to challenge him, I'm going to get it. It would outwardly see me, put him in his place, but I got into my place. If you people are sincere in what you are saying, then why didn't you stop him? When he came, you saw he was turning the crowd, he came right unto me. Why didn't you stop him? You didn't have the heart to do it, because he is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stopping him and challenging him is challenging Allah ta'ala. So I don't have the heart to do it. You see, some people, outwardly they seem to be dirty, but inwardly, inside their hearts, the fire of iman is raging. See this woman, outwardly she seemed to be dirty, right? But within her heart, that iman is raging within her. That iman is speaking. Now who is speaking now? And who has been speaking? That iman was speaking. And Maulana's couple of shoes enraged it even further. Couple of shots that Maulana gave it enraged it even further. She comes directly to Maulana and she says, Maulana, you know what? I realize that this was my mistake and I want to make Tawbah. So Maulana, you show me the procedure of Tawbah, I'm going to make Tawbah, I'm sincere about it. So Maulana tells her, you see, you're leading this type of life, you're a loose woman, so you know what wrong you are involved in, right? Today you're attracting one man, tomorrow is someone else, and this is how you are generating an income. Now you used to this life, for you to stop this immediately is going to be difficult. So if you want to get into Tawbah sincerely, I will instruct you that you get married. Because if you're married now, then at least your passion and your temptation will be smashed down, it will be suppressed. Right? When your temptation is suppressed, then for you to control yourself will be easy. Okay. So I'm prepared for anything. Immediately she contracts the nikah. Choose one man from the lovers that you've got, choose one man, make the nikah and can continue with your lives. You see, he smashed down the evil, there is no consequence after that. There's nothing going on afterwards. As Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah says, that this loose woman you find everywhere. Now this soccer that is coming now, right? Yesterday someone was telling me the news. South Africa, proudly South African, not proudly South African, is inviting 40,000 prostitutes to South Africa. Proudly South African. Ye koi izzat ki baat hai? Bilkul zillat ki baat hai? Doob marne ki baat hai? Is a thing to die in shame. It's a thing to die in shame, definitely. There's no respect, absolutely no. 40,000 prostitutes coming for this occasion. Such a big occasion. Kaash ke ye 40,000 toba karne ke liye South Africa aa jaate hain. They could have come to make toba. Not for this type of thing. Now imagine with all that, what wrath of Allah Ta'ala will it attract. What anger and azab of Allah Ta'ala it will attract. You're looking at one side of it. Oh, this money. It must just roll money. But when the command of Allah Ta'ala is just being trampled, just being neglected, and just being torn apart, and then we don't feel anything about it. We feel proud, oh, it's coming here, this thing is coming here. But the azab that is bringing with, do we consider, do we understand, do we try and reflect what type of azab is forthcoming? It's not an occasion, brothers, it's not an occasion to be happy, to be rejoicing, not at all. It is an occasion that we need to get worried. Allah Ta'ala, divert this thing here. Divert this punishment away from us. Guard us, protect us, guide these people. People, they have been misled themselves. Allah Ta'ala, guide them, protect us. Divert this punishment. Convert it. Allah Ta'ala, if you want, you can convert the punishment into a blessing. What stops your kudrat, O Allah Ta'ala? Can't we make that type of dua? What prevents your kudrat? Nothing. Nobody can hold your kudrat. You want to divert it. You want to turn the whole thing around. Who can stop it? يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ Allah Ta'ala wants to transform that punishment into a blessing. Transform that sin into a sawab. Can anybody stop Allah Ta'ala? Nobody can stop Allah Ta'ala. So this is what we are supposed to be doing, crying to Allah Ta'ala, asking Allah Ta'ala, begging Allah Ta'ala. So this is the one level of preventing a wrong, that we prevent that wrong, provided we know that there is not any evil that's going to be forthcoming. Allah Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, that you got a child, right? And you know the child is a little bit rebellious. He's rebellious, right? You know that you're going to command him, he's going to break your command. If he's going to break the command of the father, has he distanced himself further from Allah Ta'ala, or has he brought himself closer to Allah Ta'ala? Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah was the Mufti of whole of Pakistan. Right? You're going to hit the child, you hitting the child, or you commanding the child and him breaking your command, even if you didn't hit him, you commanded him, you need to do this. Right? And he violated, he broke your command. Right? When he broke your command, you are his father, he is your son, and it is compulsory for him to listen to you. He's broken your command. Now, has he distanced himself from Allah Ta'ala further, or has he brought himself closer to Allah Ta'ala? He has distanced himself, but who was the catalyst? The father was the catalyst. The father brought the child to that point. You could see, now this is the child. I'm going to tell him something. He is going to become adamant. He's going to become he will be provoked, and he will do it out of spite. He will do the wrong, and he will do it out of spite. He's telling me, I'll spite him, I'll fix him up. The child is saying this much. We don't realize it, but these children speak like that. No, I'll spite him, I'll fix him up, I'll put him in his place. What he thinks of himself? He thinks I'm a baby still. He's talking to me in this way, I'll spite him. Now these are the youngsters of today, this is what they speak, and this is how they discuss. Now that father keeps on telling, do this, do this, do this. And the child turns against the father, he rebels. Now the child, what has happened to him? He's gone further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when the child has reached this point, then what is the more intelligent path to adopt? Then you need to tell him things, but in an advisory way, in an advisory capacity. better, you know, this is the better thing to do. Because you know you're going to take that path, he will get provoked, he will rebel, and he will do things to smite, right? And if he's going to go that way, he's going to lead himself further away from Allah Ta'ala. So you've been the catalyst for him to get destroyed. The hadith speaks about this. You see, it's an usul, it's a principle in the Quran. Quran, the hadith says that the worst person is that person who swears his parents. So Sahaba Kiram inquired, how can a person swear his parents? How can a person swear his parents? So Nabi Sam explained to them that yes, you swear that person's parents and he swears your parents. But who started this whole thing off? You started it off. You were the reason for that person hurling abuse to your own parents. You started it off. Do you see that? So there are innumerable examples to illustrate this. لَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَتْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Don't hurl insult to the goddesses of these kafirs. If you want to hurl abuse, you're going to say, you're going to speak to them, and you're going to talk ill about them. They are concerned about Islam. What are they going to do in return? They're going to swear Allah Ta'ala, na'uzu billah. He's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Quran says they'll begin to insult. But who started it off? You started it off. You know you're living with these people, they are carefree. It doesn't mean anything to them. Well, it doesn't mean anything to them, and you led them in this direction, who was the person that started it off? You started it off. So you see this, that is the first level. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةَ اللَّا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. One is to prevent the same thing, but prevent it with a little bit of wisdom, understand the person. This is his capacity. Now, how must I explain this to him? I need to stop him, but how do I stop him? So you need to understand. And that understanding requires a little bit of psychology, how his brains work, how his mind works, and I need to stop him, and I need to stop him accordingly. Al-Mawad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah says, I was seated in the train. Right? And there was a prominent person sitting in the same compartment that I was sitting in. He was having his meals, and whilst he was having his meals, one morsel of food dropped, meat or something dropped, and this person, he kicked it with his shoe. He said, I couldn't take it. Food, blessing of Allah Ta'ala, this person kicked it with his shoe under the seat. I couldn't take it. But I can understand that this person, if I'm going to try him now, then he won't have the capacity to accept it. So what do I do now? I'm in a fix. I can't hurt the person, but I can't see that Rosie is being insulted like this. I can't see it myself. Khaira Sahib, who was the head inspector of schools at that time, instructed him, Khaira Sahib, you know this morsel of food, can't you just do me a favor? Just take it to the sink, wash it. I want to eat it. I want to eat it. I wish to eat it. Yeah. Anyway, Khaira Sahib washed it. Khaira Sahib understood. Now, he was an accomplice to Mulana, his very close friend. So he says to Mulana, you know what? Mulana, but can't I eat it? So, well, agar tera ji chahe, if you wish, you may eat it. If you wish, you may eat that morsel of food. Now, this person is a prominent person. He says, you know, at that time, if Mulana slapped me, it would have been better. If he slapped me and he shouted me, it would have been better. But the sunya what he used, that smashed me right through. For the rest of my life, that was in my mind. How could I do such a stupid thing? That the food, the blessing of Allah Ta'ala, and I kicked it. How could I do such a thing? But it was a lesson, and a lesson such so deeply entrenched in me that for the rest of my life, I couldn't ever do this thing. You see, again, tabligh, da'wat, but in a different style. You're doing tabligh, you're doing da'wat, you're stopping the person, but in a different way. You see, Abu Sufyan ad-Din, they stop without any evil consequence. Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he's conducting a sabak of hadith, final year students, and he's teaching them hadith, Bukhari Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, all, you know, big kitabs. And one student pulls into the dars, Mulana makes out, some people have got this foresight, you see. Allah Pak blesses them with that firasat. So with his firasat and foresight, he makes out that this person requires a compulsory bath. And he's coming into the hadith sabak. whilst he requires a compulsory bath. Now, it just doesn't blend. And he's talking of Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib over 250 years ago. If the standards had dropped them so far, so much, can you imagine now today what it will be today? And how considerate we need to be with people now compared to 250 years ago. Now, Shah Sahib Rahmatullah says, Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib says to the class, hey, aaj to bahut garmi lag rahi, feeling extremely hot today. It's unbearable. It's unbearable, I'm feeling extremely hot. Can't we just go at the river bank? You know, it'll be a nice, cool breeze. We'll enjoy the breeze. And we'll take sabak there as well. So the children now, it's like a picnic, obviously. Students, it's like a picnic. Let's go on the river bank and let's go and cool off also. And we'll take our sabaks as well. Now, as they come right to the river bank, so Shah Sahib says, now we're at the river bank, can't we just take one dive? Now, that person that was in the state of Napaki, he says, you know, all this arrangement was made for me. There's 100 students that are in the class. This arrangement was made to block off my shame, not to embarrass me. He made Tawbah after that. You see that how Tawbah is made. But for one person's izzat and respect, you have to, this whole consignment of 100, you have to go. They had to undergo that exercise, could take a dip, come out of it, dry themselves. Now Shah Sahib says, now we've taken a dip, we've cooled off. Now why should we allow the day to go waste? We had the picnic, everything we did, we enjoyed ourselves. Why should we allow the day to go wasted? Let's have some sabak also. Do you see that? You're stopping the person, you're preventing the wrong, but in a different way, in a more respectable way, without any repercussions. To tell a person, to tell your child, stop this, it's haram. It's very easy, it's simple to do it. But then what will be the repercussion? I was explaining on Alim, you know. Since they are ulama, it's not meant to run ulama down, but because they're ulama, their duties are greater. Compared to the common person, his duty is greater. So a lot of things have to be addressed to them. Explain to him, see. You want good values, good behavior in your child, don't you? So, yeah, I definitely want that. Good values, good behavior, respect, appreciation. Tomorrow I am old, he must show respect, he must show appreciation. I want all these things. Yes, mashallah. So if you want that, now you work the whole equation out. How many hours do you spend with your child? Maximum 2.5-3 hours. And your wife? 22 hours she spends. Alright, now then how do you pass on these values to your child? The only medium is your wife. The only medium is your wife. But now if you're going to boom bang her, it's haram, this halal, this haram, this halal. Right? She will have taqwa for you only. In your presence she'll have taqwa. In your presence she will be righteous. In your presence she will do everything. She will wear burqa, whatever. But she will do it in your presence. But the moment the monster is gone, everything is gone. The burkini will come up. Right? That will go out and the other wrong things will come out. Right? So that taqwa is just out of convenience because the Hazrat is going to shout here. So just to avoid any confrontation, let's put the burqa on. He'll be gone, we'll have a free life. So they're just waiting for you to move away that they can enjoy the freedom. So you haven't implanted any good values in that wife. But in the meanwhile, you want the child to come out as a farishta. Now you want the child to become a farishta, then you need to implant the true values into the wife. Now that takes a lot of time. Zen banana ek puri zindagi nikal jati hai. To make that individual zen, oh, this is the true value, this is how we need to do, this is how we need to work. I implanted those values, now the child is being brought up in the laps of that mother. The mother says, no, my husband likes this, and he likes this, and he will be displeased with this, he won't like this, right? So she will bring the child up in that tartib, in that sequence. Now you see the child growing up, but with your colors. With your colors. So your colors have to be passed on to your wife. Your wife will pass it on to the child. Well, now you are straight. For me, it must go direct. And how much time you give the child? 2.5 hours. And that time also is not quality time, it's kachra time. You're exhausted, and you're tired, and you just want to entertain yourself a little bit in the house. So you talk to your child just to entertain yourself, just to bring yourself up. So that 22 hours is the mother that is looking after the child, 2 hours you are giving. So the right thing, the logical thing is you implant those values into that wife. She will in turn implant the values into your child. But no, it must just happen. Come what may, the child must just, it must just happen in him. So do you see the different ways, the different approaches of stopping the wrong? It's a wrong. We need to see that we stop it. But how do we stop it? We need to see that we stop it. But then how do we stop it? So there's a way, there's an approach. So one way is you stop it, and I explain how you stop it. Right? You prevent it. Right? The second method of stopping a wrong is at least you express disapproval. Wrong is going on, you express disapproval. No, I really take exception to this. I don't like this. I don't want to be an accomplice to this wrong. So I express sincerely, you express your disapproval to it. Then you don't stay around, you don't hang around there. And a simple example to explain that you have sincerely expressed your disapproval for that wrong is that you get up and move away from that place. Now the simple example to illustrate this is, say for example, Allah Ta'ala forbid, that if someone was swearing, using vulgar languages against your parents, right? What will you just stay there? Will you stay and spectate that? Or what word he used against my father? Will you make a whole commentary of that? No, you won't do that. You will stop the person. If you have the ability, you will stop the person. Or in a way of expressing your disapproval, you will get up and you will move away. So when you see the wrong, then that is one way to stop that wrong, is you express your disapproval, please stop them, ask them to leave it, or move away from it. I can't see that. My parents are being insulted. They're being abused. You insulting them, and I become a spectator to this. How can I do it? So you get up at least and you move away. So if that azab has to fall, it will fall on those people. You are away. You are safe from it. Okay. Understand? In this world, it happens sometimes that if you are with the wrong, you are with the wrong people. And this comes when Imam Mahdi Sahib, right, when he will make his appearance, right, and there will be an army that will be coming. One army that will be coming to support him, they will come and support him. And there will be another army that will hear about the appearance of Imam Mahdi, and they will come out to fight against him. They will come out to fight against him. And they'll be in a فَإِذَا كَانُوا بِبَيْضَاءَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. They come into an open surface, and the earth will just sink them, it will just absorb them. So someone asked that that army will be absorbed, the army will be sunken into the earth, but there will be trade people also, there will be business people also in that army. You know, when an army moves, then there are all types of people. There's a businessman, there's a doctor, right? There's someone who knows different things, directions, etc. So there are different types of people in that army. You don't just have people are fighting only. No, you have people that are doing business, people that are advising, doctors, paramedics, all that you need when you're running an army. So now what about these people here that have nothing to do with the war? They just come to make business. They have nothing to do with the war, no interest in that war. What about them? So the hadith says that they will all be drowned, they will all be sunken. But yes, in this earth, they will not be able to escape the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. Though in the akhirat, in the hereafter, they will be saved from punishment. But in this earth, they will have to meet the same type of consequence. You see, so when you in the midst of a people that are committing wrong, then you need to express disapproval to move away from them. Don't be with them. If it's a group of people that are taking drugs, right? Illegal drugs. And you know there's a police that's parading here. Will you stand in that midst? Now with the fear of the police, you're not going to stand there. Then if the police are going to arrest, they're going to make an arrest on you as well. Now that you become very intelligent. It's illegal, I don't need to be in this crowd. So this is impermissible, I don't need to be with those people that are in that wrong. I need to move away. I need to be clear, I don't want to be a party of this punishment. So you see, this is the second level, and a second way to prevent that wrong, you move away. Respectfully, you move away from it. You try and stop it, you try and prevent them, and if you can't prevent them, you can't stop them in some way or the other, and you move away, get out of that, get up nicely, respectfully, you move away from that area. Now, what we need to understand, what is that element that makes us become compromising towards the wrong? The wrong is taking place, but we're having a compromising attitude. We're having a compromising attitude in spite of the wrong that is going on. Generally, it is two things. Right? وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Wealth and children. Right? In other words, your temptations and your dear and near ones. Your dear and near ones or your wealth. These are the two areas that you slip. These are the two areas that you will slip. Sometimes that slippery area is the wealth. The wealth turns your mind. The wealth turns your mind. Don't you see now? Hey, if I'm going to just stop, I'm going to just carry on my business for 15 minutes. I'll make my namaz. Never mind, I'll miss out one rakat, but I'll make a million. Do you see? That money turns your mind out. I'll make a million, yeah? Only 15 minutes. I'll get the namaz, but never mind. I won't get takbir ula, I'll miss out 2-3 rakats. But I'll get the namaz, I won't make it qaza. So sometimes the reason for you having a compromising attitude is wealth. In fact, most of the time it is wealth. Right. Hospital plan, hey, you take that hospital plan and you know, you'll come out so easily, you'll come out. You'll come out so easily. Hey, what a plan, and so easily. In fact, people will compliment it. Hey, lucky you had that hospital plan, huh? Otherwise, lagi jate, man. You got yourself in problems. You see how people will talk. So sometimes it is wealth, and sometimes it is near, dear, lovable ones that you get into a slippery area. Right? You fall and you have a compromising attitude because of this. Right? You may have heard of that famous incident of Hazrat Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu, right? There was the whole case that was going on with the Banu Qurayza. Right? The Khandaq is carrying on, the Battle of the Trench, and the Kuffar have made a common alliance. The Banu Qurayza, they were a Jewish clan, their alliances all along was with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Although they didn't accept Islam, but there was an alliance. But now at the last moment they became treacherous. They broke their alliances and they went and joined with the Kuffar. Now this becomes a very difficult situation, because the Banu Qurayza is on the other side of the trench, on the Muslim side of the trench, and these Kuffar are on the other side, opposite end. Now there's an army, there's an enemy, and the enemy is within your ranks. You got an enemy that is outside, an enemy within your ranks, and they have broke their contracts with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? Now they are fighting and supporting the Kuffar. So Rasulullah heard about this. He was obviously disturbed about this. And that information was verified that they broke their pledges. And they're coming out to, you know, ruthlessly breaking their pledges. They're out to kill the Muslims. Maybe someone's affected. Anyway, it's a lengthy story. But it happened that then they stayed within their fortresses, and a siege was laid against them for approximately 21 days. They insisted that Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu must come and talk to them. Not the negotiation of the terms, but he must talk to them. They may just advise them what they could do. In the meanwhile, Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu, he has got his wife, his children, and his property is all in the Banu Qurayza. Do you see that? His property, his wife, his children, all are here. So now, when they are taking care of his property, his wife and his children, so obviously you have to be soft with them. You understand how delicate the situation is. I got my wife there, I got my children there, I got my properties there. Now, if I play my cards well, then everything is going to be protected and guarded. But if I become a little bit stiff with them, then everything is going to fall. Abu Lubaba is just fixed. They requested that Abu Lubaba be called. He sent these Jews come around him and they're crying now. What's going to happen to us? In the meanwhile, he feels sorry for them. Partly because of his property, his wealth, his children, all that. and partly because of this fool's crying. So he divulges one of the secret of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He does this. That you're going to be spotted now. Obviously you were treacherous. You came out to kill, so you must be killed. Your men will be killed. We will respect. That's the law of the Torah, the Old Testament, the New Testament. That's the law. And the Quran also says the same thing. Their own kitab says the same thing. The moment he did this, he realized that he has divulged a secret of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He realized that he has divulged a secret of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he's not supposed to be doing. Now he is restless. He can't contain himself. What have I done? This was a secret of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I was just called here just to advise them. They wanted some advice, I came just to advise, not to negotiate any terms. But in the process of me advising them, I went and disclosed a secret of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I divulged it. So, like as though a whole mountain came up of him, he's restless. You see, the iman is so strong. Even if they have a slip somewhere, but that iman is so powerful, it will keep them in a state of restlessness, anxiety. No, I have divulged this. I have done committed a serious misdemeanor. He comes into the masjid and he fastens himself to one of those pillars in the Masjid Nabawi, ala sahibiha wa alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says, until Allah Ta'ala doesn't announce my tawbah, I am not going to get out of this. I may die in this condition. He remained hungry for 7 days. Only if there was a call of nature or namaz, his daughter or someone would come and unfasten him, but he remained fastened like that. So do you see, these are the two areas. Sometimes it is wife, property, sometimes it is children, dear, near ones. On account of these people, you go and compromise some aspects of your deen. Now, it is your friend, right? I'm going to show you near and dear ones and what it happens to you. Friend, and he called you to a hall, for example, right? Now you know, in the hall there's going to be several things. There's going to be video. The chances for the video being there is great. There must be some music. There must be some intermingling, right? There's going to be 3 or 4 wrongs in that. Now what do you do? Now on the one side I got a friendship moving with them. I don't want to compromise and break my friendship. But on the other end it is now, you know, it's going to be intermingling. Even if there is separate facilities, but this, at some point things are going to go out of control. In a hall, at some point something's going to go out of control. What do I do? Do I respect the Sharia or do I respect the freedom of friend? What do I do? So you see the verse, أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. This is a sure means, it's an avenue that will lead you to sin. So be careful, be on your guard.